ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। तथा समाधियुक्तेन प्रिययोगेन कार्दमा सम्प्राप्ये दे हरिं भक्त्या प्रपन्ना वरदाशुनाम। This does not work at all. During that period of penance, so no one can hear me. During that period of penance, the sage Kardama, by worship through devotional service and trance, propitiated the personality of Godhead, who is the quick bestower of all blessings upon those who flee to him for protection. Spiritual world, everything is a person. So this place has become such a spiritual world that our speaker is a personality. Our sound system has personality. That speaker sound system. In Goloka Vrindavan, everything is a personality, nothing is inanimate. The house, the windows, the doors, the ground, the grass, the trees are all pure devotees, purely liberated souls who have accepted these particular positions in the act of loving service to the Lord. There is nothing inanimate and there is nothing impersonal in Vaikuntha. But in this material world, matter is dead. Our bodies are dead matter. Factually, everything our senses perceive is dead matter. The only thing that is alive with personality is the soul that cannot be seen. Are you translating correctly?
Very short and precise.
Who's better? So that is the difference between material and spiritual. Is material is always dead, inanimate and unconscious. Whereas spiritual is eternally conscious and full of life. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita that Bhumira Ponalo Vayu Kamanobada Evacha Ahankara Ityami Bhina Prakriti Rashtita, that this material existence consists of eight elements: earth, water, fire, air, and ether, mind, intelligence, and false ego. All these eight elements are composed of dead matter. Parayamitasvanyam prakritindrime param jiva bhuta mahabaho yagedam dharayate jagat. Krishna says, but besides this inferior dead material energy, there is another energy, which is spiritual, which is the conscious soul that gives life and animation to everything that exists. The soul leaves this present body. What is the value of this body? It is like a piece of wood laying in the street. It is simply dead matter. But just as the sun fills the sky with its energy through sunshine. Similarly, when the soul, which in this world is 1/10,000th the size of the tip of a hair, when it enters into the heart, the energy of the soul, which is like sunshine, which is in the form of consciousness, pervades this entire body, feels through every piece of flesh within our body, smells through our nose, hears through our ears, sees through our eyes, tastes through the tongue, thinks through our brain and loves through our heart. But as soon as the soul leaves the body, what is left? Simply a carcass of dead matter. No life, no consciousness. In fact, the body is always like this. Just as an automobile is always dead matter. But when the personality enters into the automobile can perform so many functions of life. So this is the condition of material life. Everything we perceive with our senses is dead. And the only conscious personality in life is unseen by any of our senses because it is of another nature. There is a story in Srimad Bhagavatam about Maharaj Chichiketu, who was very anxious to have a son. But soon after he had his beloved son, his son died. But his son, Maharaj Chichiketu, was drowning in an ocean of lamentation. At that time, Narada Muni and the great Angira Muni, they both came to the place, and by their mystic power, they put the life or the consciousness back into the dead baby's form. Can everyone hear him? In the back? Ask if everyone can hear you. So the baby began to speak, "My dear father, who are you lamenting for? Who is it that you are lamenting for? The dead body that you thought was me is still laying in front of you. What is gone? Real consciousness, you have never seen me, nor are you seeing me now." He explained, "My dear father, you do not even know who I am. You do not even know what I am. You are lamenting out of ignorance." And this is very instructive. After Chichiketu Maharaj understood the real nature of the soul, then he came above all lamentation, and he became a self-realized soul. So all sufferings are exclusively due to attachment to matter. But when we learn to attach ourselves to the soul, then we attain eternal happiness, eternal peace. Krishna says in Gita, "Brahma bhuta prasanatma nasochati nakankshati samasaraveshu bhuteshu madbhaktim labhate param." For one who attains the spiritual platform, one who experiences the eternal personality, the consciousness, the soul within oneself and the soul within others, he is simply joyful eternally. He never hankers nor laments for any of the material conditions of this world, which is changing. But the spiritual world is completely the opposite of this material world. In the spiritual world, there is no matter. There is no ignorance. There is no death. Everything is full of life. Everything is full of consciousness. Every particle is a living spirit soul. There is nothing inanimate. Even the so-called inanimate objects are pure-hearted, self-realized personalities who are simply taking this position to assist the Lord for his pleasure. Krishna is uniquely interacting with every creature in every form in the spiritual world, and everyone is fully satisfied that Krishna loves me the best. Even the grass on the ground is thinking, of everyone, the gopis, they may be embracing Krishna, but Krishna's feet is always on my head. I'm the most fortunate. Personality that takes the form of Krishna's bed. He is thinking, how fortunate am I that Krishna lays on me all night long. The floor is thinking, Krishna is crawling around on me and eating his food on me. How lucky I am. Chair is thinking, who is more fortunate than me? Krishna sits on me every day. The mirror is thinking, just see, I get to reflect the beauty of Krishna's image for him to enjoy. The door is thinking, what a nice service. I'll open myself so that Krishna could come in and out to meet his gopis. The house is thinking, just see, I am protecting Krishna from the rain. I am protecting Krishna from the wind. I am protecting Krishna from the heat and the cold. Such mercy Krishna is giving me, such intimate service. What to speak of Krishna's clothes? His dhoti is thinking, aha. How nice Krishna is to me that he wears me every day. And his peacock feather. His peacock feather is thinking, ah, Krishna is so merciful. He's allowing me to make him famous for always wearing peacock feather. And his flute. It is described in Srimad Bhagavatam that even the gopis were praising the good fortune of Krishna's flute. Although the flute is only a stick of bamboo with some holes in it. Can you imagine? It is a very, very highly purified, intensely devoted lover of God that has taken the form of this bamboo with holes in it in contact with Krishna's lotus lips. The gopis are thinking that Lord Sri Krishna, on special nights, we get to taste the sweetness of his lips. But the flute all day and all night is enjoying this great fortune. And just see how in the Vrindavan forest, all the other trees, the bamboo trees, they are just yielding fruits due to ecstasy, thinking that their descendant has such intimate connection to Krishna. In this way, in the spiritual world, nothing is dead. Everything is conscious. Everything is eternal, full of knowledge and full of bliss. But due to the deadness of this material existence, the tendency for impersonalism is very strong. And modern technology and modern science, if it is not very, very carefully utilized in devotion to God, then it further promotes this idea of impersonalism. You see, previously, even in business, the real opulence of a business was to have very faithful and loyal employees. In this way, the business was like a family, a loving family of persons who worked together. But now everything is becoming very computerized due to scientific advanced technology. So many persons are put out of work because their minds cannot compete with a computer. In America, America's glory was small businesses. People who had nothing, and they would just work very hard and develop their small business and become successful. And there were so many millions of persons in America becoming successful like this. This is what made America famous in the world. This is why so many people wanted to come to America. But now small businesses are practically extinguished. Now the big corporations, they open huge, gigantic department stores, which are not even imaginable in a country like India. And you can buy everything in it cheaper than anyone could ever sell it on their own, because they buy such huge quantities. And all the small businesses simply go out of business, and they cannot get jobs. The only way they can get jobs is they have to become a computerized number in the big corporations. In this way, if modern technology is not utilized very carefully in God's service, it turns people very grossly into impersonalists. So we see that by Radha Vrindavanathavara's mercy, they do not want us to become impersonalists. So they made the sound system not work this evening. In this way, they decided, because their abode is the spiritual world, they're getting tired of all of this impersonal technology. They want everything and everyone to be a person in their lila. So they have given the special rasa to Kardama Muni of becoming the sound system. Sound system rasa. Kardama Muni Prabhu ki. No, not finished. But really, it is a lesson that the path of bhakti is a personal process. It is a relationship that is developed between the spirit, soul, and God on the personal level of loving devotional service. But you see, because due to our present conditioning, We cannot perceive God very well with our senses. Therefore, the tendency is to be very impersonalistic in our approach to God. It is for this reason that the Lord appears in the beautiful Archavigraha, or the Murti, so that we can perceive His transcendental personality and form with our present senses. We can chant before Him, we can dance before Him, we can cook for Him, we can offer our lives to Him. In this way, we can reawaken that natural personal propensity of loving service to the Lord. But it is said it is a very neophyte devotee, a Kanishta Adhikari, that only sees the personality of Godhead in the form of the temple. But one who truly aspires to be more advanced must see the presence of the Lord within the hearts of his devotees. Due to this modern age of impersonalism, mechanicalism, our relationships are often like that. Therefore, the development of personal relationship with the spiritual master, with the sadhus, and with the devotees in general is most essential for understanding our personal relationship with Krishna. Therefore, we must learn to care for one another with great concern and with great devotion. Lord Jesus Christ, He said that as you treat the least amongst yourselves, that is how you treat me. Can everyone hear? The way we treat the devotees is the way we treat Krishna. We may do very elaborate puja on the altar, but if we are callous, disrespectful toward the devotees, Krishna will not consider our puja very important. In the Lord Jesus Christ said that when you go to offer your offering to the altar, if you remember that you have some difficulty in your relationship with one of your brothers or sisters, He said, put that offering down. Go and create again harmony between you and your brother and sister. Then come back to the altar, then offer the offering to the deity, then Krishna will be pleased. And Lord Sri Krishna explains to Uddhava in the 11th canto of Bhagavat, Mad Bhakta Puja Vyadika, that worship of my devotees, service to my devotees, is more important to me than service to me directly. And our Guru Maharaj, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, he would tell us that you will show your love for me by how you love one another. So, we must learn how to be very personal in all of our dealings, especially with the devotees of the Lord. Which means we have to show a genuine concern to help one another. You know, when you accept Krishna as God, and you accept the spiritual master as your father, at the time you make that vow, within your heart, or at the ceremony of initiation, you are not only accepting the guru as your father, but you are also accepting the responsibility of all God brothers and God sisters as your brothers and sisters. This is the highest ultimate expression of brother and sisterhood, when you accept that you are brothers and sisters because you are disciples of the same guru and you are children of the same God. We sometimes take it for granted the incredible responsibility that we have vowed toward one another. At the time of initiation, or at the time of acceptance of Guru within one's heart, you have accepted an eternal relationship of brothers and sisters of all those disciples. It is factually the most congenial form of intimacy within this world. But people, devotees, oftentimes they take initiation, they take it very cheaply, and they do not understand the gravity of the relationship they have toward one another. In order to create some relationship of, because they don't understand the gravity of the eternal relationship you have, they have some ceremony of tying thread around wrist, thinking, now we are brothers and sisters. Why is there need for this? We're already eternal brothers and sisters on the highest level of Godhead. Ultimate eternal relationship that is ours, we are taking so cheaply, we're thinking some traditional custom is necessary to bind us in this love of brother and sister, brother and brother, sister and sister. This is all due to impersonalism. We do not understand the personal relationship that we have vowed to have toward one another when we accept Guru and Krishna. Therefore, it is our responsibility and our greatest opportunity and fortune to please God by loving one another, by caring for one another, and by helping one another. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu only aspired for this one position. The servant of the servant of the servant, the most insignificant servant of all the other servants of the Lord. He was not concerned with knowing God. He was concerned with being the servant of the servants of God. When Dhruva Maharaj fought against the Yakshas and defeated them in a very great war, he was killing them all. At that time, Kuvera came to ask Dhruva, please stop this bloodshed. You have already defeated them. Spare the rest of their lives. So, at that time, Dhruva Maharaj, being very respectful, he stopped the fighting. And Kuvera was very happy. Kuvera is the treasurer of the Devatas, stow very great benedictions. So he offered Dhruva Maharaj, any benediction you want, you take it. Dhruva Maharaj said, the only benediction I ask for is allow me to always be engaged in the service of the servants, Supreme Lord Hari. This is the ultimate benediction. So let us not allow the influence of this mechanical age of Kali, the age of iron, to create iron hearts in our relationships with one another. But rather we must know that Krishna himself is manifesting himself through the hearts of his devotees. As we treat the devotees, we are treating Krishna himself. Lord Kapila Dev has said that you can offer me so many wonderful offerings, but there's no offering that tastes better to me than foodstuffs which is offered with great devotion to the mouths of the Brahmins. He said, through the mouths of the Brahmins, I enjoy your food better than when you offer it to me directly. So therefore, the Madhyamadikari, the sincere person who is aspiring for advancement in spiritual life, he sees the deity in the temple and worships him with great respect and love. To the spiritual master, he is very obedient and offers him service and love. To those who are on an equal level, he befriends those persons, embraces those persons, and is willing to do anything to help and assist those persons in their spiritual life. And he is willing to reveal his mind in confidence and agree to be helped by the mercy of the devotees. And it is said that for those who are in a lesser position, he is always trying to encourage and uplift them. And those who are demoniac and atheistic and who do not want to develop any relationship of devotion with you, to them, you have to avoid hearing offenses from them. Trick them into devotional service by some other means. In this way, the spiritual world is understood to the degree we develop personal relationships with everyone, seeing God within the heart of everyone. And through this process, Krishna says, for one who sees me everywhere and everything in me, for him I am never lost, nor is he ever lost to me. In other words, if you are approaching, first it has to begin with the devotees. If we learn how to see Krishna in the hearts of the devotees, gradually by the mercy of God, we will learn how to see Krishna everywhere and in everything. In this way, even though in this material world, we will not be in this material world, we will see Krishna everywhere. We will factually be in Vaikuntha. Vaikuntha is a state of consciousness. Vaikuntha is that consciousness where we see the presence of the personality of Godhead everywhere. Even for such a bhakta, even the impersonal Brahman is no longer impersonal, but he sees it as the reflection of the personal rays of the body of God. There is nothing impersonal for a self-realized bhakta. Not even in the sound system.
Huh?
Is there any questions?
You said that even the most insignificant blade of grass in Golok Vrindavan, experiences the same amount of intimacy as the gopis with Krishna. At the same time, we also know that in the Vaikuntha planets also, person is Satchidanand and he feels great, but there is, he is worshipping Krishna in the Narayan form with unlimited opulence. So how can, if the jnani or the yogi or people in that mood have entered into Vaikuntha planet rather than Golok Vrindavan, how can they associate Krishna as beautifully as they would in Golok Vrindavan? What is qualitatively, what would be the difference and why it is not recommended for devotees to try to go into the Vaikuntha planet?
Prashna ye hai ki Golok
in the spiritual world, there is perfect, more perfect, and most perfect. In Vaikuntha, everything is absolutely perfect. But that perfection, which is pure love of God, unmotivated, uninterrupted service of the Lord, which is all-pervading in Vaikuntha, is increased to more perfect and most perfect when it is free from the conception of awe and reverence, shared in complete freedom of intimacy with the Lord, which is only reciprocated in Goloka Vrindavan. Any other questions?
Or koi prashna?
Now it is time for prasad. I will tell you what our Guru Maharaj told us about prasad in the spiritual world. In the spiritual world, prasadam is people also. Nothing is inanimate. Nothing is dead. When Mother Yashoda prepares rasgulla for Krishna, a personality actually takes the form of that rasgulla. And with all of his heart and all of his soul, he's simply making himself as sweet as he possibly can. Huh? And that rasgulla is simply waiting on the plate with a big smile on his face, just anxious for Krishna to come to enjoy him. And according to Krishna's desire, he does not need to pick up the rasgulla. Rasgulla, come into my mouth. The rasgulla dances through the air into the mouth of Lord Sri Krishna. And then as Krishna is chewing him, he's feeling complete ecstasy. And within Krishna's mouth, he's simply dancing around, and with all of his senses, he's just giving pleasure to every part of Krishna's mouth. Krishna is completely engrossed in loving this rasgul, and the rasgul is completely engrossed in loving Krishna. And then after Krishna chews it, the rasgula, it's not like in this material world. You know what happens to rasgulas after we finish it in this material world. In Vrindavan, it is not like that. In Vrindavan, there is no waste matter. So after Krishna eats the rasgula, that spirit soul simply takes the form of another rasgulla and with a wonderful smile is waiting for Krishna to enjoy. Okay, if your rasa with Krishna is a rasagula, then eternally you are simply being chewed on by the lotus mouth of Krishna. That is why we call them rasgulas. But every kind of prasad is like that. Everything is personal. This may sound like so many fantasy stories, but this is reality. Because with our relative sense perception, we perceive so many dead things in this world, and they go into the ground. We think that all food must be like that. But in the spiritual world, nothing is dead. Every element is a pure devotee, simply anxious to give Krishna pleasure. And everyone is simply united, loving one another, chanting together, glorifying Krishna together. The spiritual world, the windows, the doors, the floors, the grass, the rasgulas, the cows, the cowherd boys, the gopis, the gopas, the trees, the sky, everything and everyone. There is no everything. Everyone in the spiritual world is constantly chanting the holy names of Krishna, having kirtan together. That is our real home. This material world is a very strange foreign place for the soul. By chanting the holy names, by associating with the Lord's devotees, we could prepare our consciousness to return to that eternal abode of the Lord and go back home, back to Godhead. So let us now take prasad with this transcendental understanding in mind. And next week, we should start program right at 7. Because you know, at Radha Gopinath Mandir, the program now starts at 4 o'clock in the morning. The devotee must rise by 3:30 to have japa meditation in temple room. The schedule now is at 3:30, everyone rises at the latest to take bath. And then at 4 o'clock, everyone comes to the temple room to chant japa together. At 5 o'clock is Mangal Arati. At 5:30 is Tulsi Puja. At 5:35 is Srimad Bhagavatam class, and that lasts until 6:30. And these early morning hours are the most precious and sacred hours of the day for spiritual enlightenment. And it also gives the opportunity for anyone who desires to share their lives with Radha Gopinath at this time of the day, that they can attend the whole morning program and still get to work on time. So if at all possible, we would like to invite and welcome everyone to come and join the Transcendental Festival every morning at the lotus feet of Sri Sri Radha Gopinath. But of course, in this world, we have to plan ahead. So the car center, because it is so far, and so many devotees from our temple come, we would like to start from now on at 7 o'clock so that it can end earlier and we can all take rest at a reasonable time at night. Despite my presence, by the inconceivable arrangement of God, I think it is possible. I am not very famous for ending things early. But if we start early, next week we will bring our own sound system. But by Krishna's arrangement, we do not know. Krishna may like Kardama Muni better. Did he translate correctly? You know, I could say some very wonderful things about Kardama Muni right now. He is a very great saint. And everyone loves Kardama Muni very much. And the reason why everyone loves him so much is because he's so humble, he never says anything good about himself.
My name is Kardamuni Das Maharaj.
We are talking about Kardama Muni Das. Translate. So next week we will have dancing kirtan in the courtyard at 7 o'clock. All right. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.